Nobody actually leaves Merrill Lynch on resignation day. They leave in the weeks before it and planning nobody at the branch ever sees. Or they skip the planning, jump, and hope. Today, I want to walk you through the three phases of going independent from a wirehouse and the short list of things worth settling before you say a word to anyone. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for Merrill advisors thinking about independence and for anyone at a big firm because the shape of the move barely changes. By the end, you'll know the three phases of a breakaway, what the broker protocol lets you take out the door, who can contact clients and when, and what to square away before you give notice. Start with the part most advisors can't picture, the gap, the stretch between handing in a resignation and being operational somewhere new with clients, accounts, and a working business. That gap is where the fear lives. It also turns out to be the most mappable part of the whole move because the move runs in order. Phase one is resignation day, a single day with very specific mechanics. Phase two is the contact window, the first week or so, when clients learn you've left and decide whether to follow. Phase three is the build, the first 30 days, when your entity, custody, technology, and compliance come online. Each phase has its own rules and its own failure modes, and everyone rewards work done before anyone resigns. Advisors who do this well aren't improvising. They chose the destination, had the paperwork read, and scripted the first 72 hours before day one arrived. And if thinking about this feels disloyal, some context. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% from the year before. Movement is routine. It's a normal thing careful people do. So, phase one and the rules that govern it. Merrill has real history with the broker protocol. It was one of the three firms that created it back in 2004, along with Smith Barney and UBS. The protocol is a voluntary agreement among firms built to protect clients' privacy and their freedom to choose their advisor when that advisor changes firms. For a departing advisor, it does one narrow thing. For clients you personally service, the official protocol text spells out exactly five pieces of information you may take: client name, address, phone number, email address, and account title. That's the whole list. It also prohibits taking anything beyond it. No account numbers, no statements, no performance reports, nothing out of the firm's systems. The mechanics matter as much as the list. To be covered, you resign in writing, delivered to local branch management, and you leave the firm a copy of the client information you're taking. There's a nuance advisors miss here. The copy you leave with the branch includes the account numbers, and the copy you keep does not. And both firms, the one you're leaving and the one you're joining, have to be signatories on the day you move. That last condition is where I want to slow down. Membership shifts. More than 2,000 firms were signatories as of the administrator's October 2025 list, but firms join and withdraw whenever they choose. Some of the biggest names stepped in and then stepped right back out around 2017 and 2018. So Merrill's founding role tells you where the protocol came from. It tells you nothing about any firm's status on the day you plan to resign. What tells you that is the current signatory list. Read next to your own employment agreement by a securities attorney. If If the protocol doesn't cover your move, your agreement governs instead, and that's a much narrower road. Phase two, who you can talk to and when. Before you resign, the general answer is no, and this is where departures go sideways. Lining up clients ahead of a move is exactly the conduct firms watch for and litigate over. After you resign, the answer depends on three sources working together. Whether the protocol covers the move, what your own agreement says about solicitation, and what your state's law adds on top. Those sources don't always agree. Which is why the contact window gets mapped with counsel before notice goes in, not figured out over the weekend after. And a word about that counsel, because most Merrill advisors don't have a securities attorney on call. The firm's lawyers are the firm's lawyers. So the real first step isn't drafting a client letter. It's getting an attorney who reads breakaway departures for a living into your corner early. An hour of that review before you act is worth more than any amount of cleanup after. The advisors who keep clients through a transition tend to be the ones who had the window mapped cold. Who calls whom in what order, saying what, starting when. And keep your expectations honest. Nothing transfers until each client decides to follow you and signs with your new custodian. Retention is never certain, even for the well-prepared. Preparation moves the odds. It doesn't remove the risk. Phase three is the build. The first 30 days when the firm you've been describing to clients has to actually exist, entity and custody come first. The legal entity formed, the registration filed, and if you're standing up your own registered investment advisor, an RIA, that filing has to clear before you can hold yourself out as one. Then a custodian agreement signed, your firm onboarded on their platform, account paperwork live so a client who says yes has somewhere to say it. Then technology, which is duller than it sounds, portfolio accounting, a CRM, planning software, an email address that works, a phone number clients can reach, then compliance supervision. And that's the piece an employee advisor has never carried because someone upstairs carried it. Written policies and procedures, a supervisory structure, archiving of email and text messages, books and records. At a wirehouse, all of that came with the building. Underneath, the whole month runs the repapering. Every account that follows you is opened new at the new custodian, funded by transfer, and signed for by the client, account by account, household by household, chasing every form that comes back missing an initial. None of it is difficult. All of it is volume. And it arrives in the same weeks you're trying to reassure people, which leaves what to settle before you give notice. Three things. First, the money attached to staying. Compensation at a big firm usually includes deferred awards that vest over years, and unvested balances are typically forfeited when you resign, so the calendar can matter as much as the destination. And if a recruiting package brought you to your current seat, it was probably structured as a forgivable loan. And leaving before it fully forgives means the remaining balance comes due. These are not small numbers. FINRA itself has described recruitment incentives running as much as 2 to 3 times the prior year's commissions and fees. Your numbers live in your agreements. Read them and price the exit before you fall in love with the destination. Second, the paperwork. Your employment agreement, any notes, and the current protocol signatory list reviewed together by that securities attorney before you act. A few hours of professional time set against consequences measured in years. Third, the first 72 hours scripted on paper. When you resign, what you hand over who may be contacted and how, what your new firm has ready to receive accounts on day one. When the destination was chosen early and the script exists, the first month stops feeling like free fall and starts feeling like assembly. If you're mapping your own exit or just testing whether the idea survives contact with your numbers, we built a short assessment for exactly this. 6 questions, free, on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. It shows you which parts of your transition are already solid and which need work before you give notice. What feels like a cliff is a sequence, and the fear lives in not seeing the sequence. Map it before you move. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.